9-8. Team that started 0-4 is now 9-8. Listen. All right, let me back up. First of all, it's Wednesday, April 17th. Mets won the last two against the Pirates. They have a game again against the Pirates before they head off to a West Coast trip with the Dodgers and the Giants. So if they could get a win today, that's just gonna be good. A couple of things. I think Lindor needs to bat right-handed all the time. I mean, he's hitting the ball pretty well from the right side of the plate. And who cares about lefty-righty matchups? Pete Alonso doesn't say, oh, let me go from the left side of the plate. No. And he hits right-handed pitchers. I think Lindor needs to stick to the right side of the plate. That's my two cents on the whole matter. We saw over the weekend Doc Gooden's number get retired. Back in a time when pitchers can throw complete games. Now it's a different, it's a whole different ball game, pardon the pun. And they're not able to throw complete games like they used to. I don't know if it's the coaching staff, the manager, I don't know, because they want to preserve him for the whole season, or because it's, you know, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the pitchers. Maybe they don't build pitchers like they used to. Or maybe it's all the different weight routines and everything and the workouts that they go through. And they're trying to, you know, make sure they don't go on the injured list. I don't know what it is. I just know that pitchers do not pitch complete games like they used to. Relief pitchers do not pitch like they used to. It used to be like you can get a couple innings out of a relief pitcher and then maybe they'd pitch the next game and no one even questioned it. Now you get a couple innings out of a relief pitcher and the pitcher isn't available for the next game, so I don't know. But as for the Mets, they're 9-8, 91 more games they have to win, they'll be 162. And I gotta think that, I mean, that's solid math, people. And I gotta think that with that kind of record, they'll definitely make it to the World Series. So that's good. Harrison Bader turned into a nice little player. It's funny I say little because the dude could crush me. But no, but he has good speed. And he won the Gold Glove a few years ago. But he's hitting the ball well. And the other night he had some heroics in the late innings of the game against the Pirates to hit the go-ahead run. So, knocking the go-ahead runs. So he's definitely been a nice surprise. And in yesterday's game against the Pirates, he made a catch at the wall, which was a spectacular catch. So he's doing well. DJ Stewart. And the other game, again, the other day against the Pirates, had a nice hit to tie the game. So he's doing well too. And, you know, again, I know I've said it and I'll say it again. When Martinez comes up, it'll definitely be a boost. I mean, hopefully this could be sustainable, but with the way the Mets starting pitching has been, the relief pitching has been amazing. You know, their hitting has come along in yesterday's game. The Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher Jones was pretty tough. Mets just waited him out till the relievers took over and then went to work. That kid was throwing hard, making some of the Mets better hitters look silly. Mets got a go-ahead run on Jose Hernandez's balk. all because the dude moved his front shoulder. I could definitely never be a pitcher in the major leagues. One thing is because I don't have the skill. Second thing is because I get tired just getting out of the chair or getting out of bed in the morning, trying to get the motivation. But another thing is I would be fidgeting all the time. And the type that really can't sit still. And this poor guy, he moved his front shoulder and it's a balk. It's crazy. Just the balk rule in general. Pretty crazy. I mean, I understand when a pitcher makes a move, a pickoff move, to try to deceive the runner and he doesn't step off the rubber before he does it. I understand that. Last night's balk was silly. I mean, if it's the rule, it's the rule. It's just that just because it's the rule doesn't mean I'm going to agree with it. And it worked out well. I mean, I'll take it. You know, Mets got the go-ahead run. It just seems a little silly to me. But that's that. I mean, Mets are 9-8. I said it. I said it last podcast. They're going to win the World Series. And apparently, I shifted from the miserable Mets fan to the positive Mets fan. But I do think, I mean, this is amazing misery. Tales of a miserable Mets fan. And I've said in the podcast before, I've been a fan for 40 years. So there's definitely a lot of stories, you know, with the Mets that contributed to being miserable. And I've mentioned some of them. I've mentioned the players that were good on other teams, came to the Mets, and they underperformed. I mentioned players that were underperforming with the Mets and go on to other teams, and miraculously, they start performing. You know, I understand it's one of those things. It's just that when you compound that with a lot of losing, it makes a Mets fan a little nutty. But we're still there for the team, despite all that. I mean, it also never helped having the Yankees in the same city, you know? I mean, Mets playing in Queens, Yankees playing in the Bronx. That never helped. If we were a team playing in Oshkosh, you know, Kansas, some place other than in a city that has a team that has won, 27, 28 world championships? I don't even know. I mean, a lot of those were won before I was even born. I miss the 80s. I miss back when the Mets were the team. And the Yankees had Dave Winfield, Dave Rigetti, Don Mattingly, a couple others here and there, but what they didn't have is a championship. It was nice. Till 96, and I didn't think that they were gonna win that series against the Braves pitching staff. Then again, I was a kid, and what the hell did I know? And it's a 50-50 shot. You either win or you don't. And they ended up winning. But that's all right. That's right, because they may have their 27, 28, 20, I don't even know, to be honest with you, championships, but we have our two, and I was alive for one of them, 1986. God, what a great time. Gary Carter, Keith Hernandez, Wally Backman, Rafael Santana, Ray Knight, Mookie, Lenny, Darryl, great. And then the pitching staff, I mean, come on, Dwight Gooden, Sid Fernandez, could talk about the, and then we got Ron Darling, Bubba Ojeda. We could talk about, and the relievers, Roger McDowell, Jesse Orosco. Everything just fell into place in 86. And it didn't start out that way, obviously. They lost the first two at home. Yeah, it was a good time. All right, it's 2024, though. Enough with the shenanigans. I will tell you a story about, 1969, before I was born, the old Shea Stadium. My dad was putting up seats because he was a carpenter in Queens. He was putting in seats for the upcoming Jets game, the upcoming Jets game, because the Jets used to play in Shea Stadium, and But it was he was putting in the seats behind the fence. So when New York Met, Ed Cranepool hit a home run, and this was during the playoffs. I don't think this was in the World Series. 69 in the playoffs, Ed Cranepool hit a home run over the fence. My dad got the ball, and Ed Cranepool went to retrieve said ball. And I guess back then, I don't even know if they do it now. I don't know. But when the American League would be up the plate, they would use a ball that said National League on it. And when the National League would be at the plate, use a ball that say American League on it. So I mean, balls were hit, you know, during over the fence during batting practice all the time. So there were walls all over the place. Anyway, Ed Cranepool hits the ball over the wall, gets the home run, and then later on tries to retrieve the ball from my dad. And my dad gives him one of the balls that were already over the fence. Ed Cranepool, looking at the ball, recognizing that this was not the ball that he hit over the wall, proceeds to throw the ball at my dad. My dad later had that ball, because he kept the ball, later had that ball signed by Tug McGraw, father of Tim McGraw, for all you country fans. So that's a little story about my dad and his shiftiness. And then years later, and I love my parents, years later, we don't know where the ball is, and we're just assuming that I took it out and played with it with my friends and lost it. So we're just gonna leave that assumption on the table, and I'm not gonna deny it because I have no clue, and they're not mad about it, so it doesn't matter. But that was it. And then when I would have a conversation with my dad and say, how come, you know, you didn't give him his ball? And he would say, he wasn't a nice guy anyway, Ed Cranepool. You know, he wasn't nice to the fans and the kids. That's what my dad said. But it's all right. So that was 1969, 6 years before I was born. So to recap, Mets 9-8. Let's go. Lindor, you need to bat from the right side. I know I touched on this before, but come on, let's go. You don't need to be a lefty anymore. You don't need to be a switch hitter. Just bat from the right side. You'll be fine. I could have just write an email to Todd Zeal. See if Todd Zeal could give that the zeal of approval like he always gives out. There are things, there are a lot of things to be optimistic with. The fact that the Mets are 9-8 after their horrible start. I mean, to me, their start was so bad. Now, granted, again, and Carlos Mendoza's been saying it, it's a long season. Players are going to go through stretches when they're not hitting. But, I mean, and I know it's contagious, but nobody was hitting in that first little stretch, except maybe Alvarez and Beatty. You know, Alonso would get, you know, do his thing here and there, but I mean, these guys, it wasn't just one or two players. It was like half of their lineup, if not more than half. But that's in the past. That's in the rearview mirror. Put that all behind us and move forward. Today's game against the Pirates. Then we go to West Coast, face the Dodgers and the Giants. It's encouraging that I believe, you know, the Mets can beat the Braves. The Mets are doing well against the Pirates. Hopefully when the Mets play the Marlins, they'll be able to do well. Because that would be true New York Met fashion, that they would be able to beat the good teams and lose against the bad teams. I definitely think that, it's fun to watch, because the worst thing you want to do is invest 2.5 hours of your life watching a game when you pretty much think that they're going to lose? Why would I do that? Why would I invest 2.5 hours of my life on something that I know is a guarantee for, one, failure, and two, no entertainment value whatsoever? It's like, just, I might as well just sit in my room and stare at the wall. Although that actually sounds appealing too, because I'm married with 3 daughters, so my house can get pretty loud. So just sitting in silence, staring at the wall, sounds like a great idea. All right, Mets 9-8, another game against the Pirates. Let's go, let's sweep them, and then head to the West. Thanks for listening, everyone. My name is Glenn Price. Till next time.